Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
Good morning. This morning I am reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 from the New International Version. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may suffer, have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you may have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May God add his blessing to the reading of this holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. In this text from Peter, an elder in the church, probably in Rome, is sharing a word of encouragement to the early church. The importance then and now is we could all use a word of encouragement now, couldn't we? Here in America, where when I was a youngster, we were a manufacturing nation. Somewhere along the line, we became consumer-based rather than manufacturing-based, which means we sell information and ideas. What is being sold as ideas, whether it is a house, a car, a computer, a television, any of the electronic devices that we are increasingly dependent upon? We are being sold how important these items are to our lives. They're new and improved, and this is to motivate us to buy. Look no further than Apple, and I've owned Apple products from time to time, how every time they roll out a new product, people literally flock to their stores. Now, sometimes in order to get us to buy things, they don't even use real people. Just a few minutes ago, I received what they call a robocall. A robot was calling me, and I knew because of it was two things. It was an 888 number, and it was unavailable. Somebody smarter than me has trained me how to block these calls so they can't call me back until they figure some new deal to get at me. A while back, though, I received a robot call from a resort trying to sell me a stay there. I was a few seconds into the call when I realized that there wasn't a human at the other end, just a computer-created voice. So the amazing offer wasn't even worthy of a human contact in person. I heard a few weeks ago some graduate students on a national public radio program talking about how perfecting the artificial voice is changing the way we interact, to the point where artificial intelligence voices are literally able to fool people. These graduate students were talking about how they could prove that so articulate are the artificial intelligence voices that some people can't tell the difference. Well, here in this text, Peter is saying just the opposite. He's saying the words and the work of Jesus are indeed real. Real. Real then, real now. About 40 years ago, a professor of theology at Boston Theological School, an affiliate of the United Methodist Church, wrote a book titled The Reality of the Gospel and the Unreality of the World. The premise was the disconnect, if you need this psychological term, cognitive dissonance between the way of Jesus and the way of the world. 2,000 years into it, the church still finds itself disconnected from the master. We value power and wealth. We value righteousness, more like self-righteousness. Jesus valued piety and healing. We want that real deal. And think what that might be for you, because we'll come back to it. Now, this may be a joke. I retrieved this off an internet site. But it has just enough of a ring of truth. There is a website for a product called Clara, C-L-A-R-A, gluten-free water. I know where you're going. Clara gluten-free water. It's, quote-unquote, a patented mixture of water and minerals, and it's guaranteed gluten and additive-free. Not only that, it comes with comes in 100% recycled plastic bottles. While the product description vaguely hints at contaminants that can enter the bottling process of competing water providers, it never explains how a naturally occurring substance, water, that has nothing to do with cereal grains could possibly contain gluten. Their motto is Clara Water, because you can never be too sure. It closes with that simple Latin phrase, caveat emptor, which we learned in the seventh grade means let the buyer beware. Who knows what is real and what is not real? Patrick J. McDonald, no D on there, wrote an article that appeared Easter Sunday in the LA Times front page. And the title of the article was Always Looking Forward, Never Looking Back. And it detailed the life of a 19-year-old Honduran illegal immigrant who is undeterred by deportations and dangers and remains unabashedly optimistic about a new life that awaits him in the United States. It's worth looking up in the archive. Part of it, you wonder if because he's 19, if that's where the optimism, but he's already faced hardship. He's had to leave his homeland. He's had to risk arrest and deportation, in fact, has been deported. And yet, he sees the hope of a new life here. We take so much for granted, just like this being Earth Day. And I walk outside and look at the blue sky and think of how fortunate I am to live here. Now, I know in a couple of months it's going to be hot because we live in the desert. We've made it look like the Midwest, but we live in the desert, brothers and sisters. But it's lovely, and I take so much of it for granted. I don't have to shovel snow. I don't have to scrape the ice off my windshield. What a great life. Who wouldn't want to come here and risk everything to get here? I don't remember the exact date of the Coalinga earthquake. I know it was around 85. It can't be later than 90 because my mother talked to me and showed me an article that she had clipped out of her Orange County newspaper. And it detailed the life of Carl Karcher. I don't know whether any of you know who that is. Carl Karcher founded a hot dog stand, which became Carl's Jr., more known for their hamburgers, their outrageous hamburgers. If you see I think I gained weight watching the commercial. Anyways, he did this in 1943. He founded this hot dog stand in L.A. and mostly was really popular in Orange County and then throughout the western United States. It's related to Hardee's. Mr. Karcher was a renowned Catholic, very faithful. One of his sons is and remains a Catholic priest. He was in Orange County for a time. I don't know where he is now. So the Coalinga quake happened, and if you know about it, you know it was a pretty devastating quake and essentially leveled the city of Coalinga. Mr. Karcher quietly sent unmarked trucks filled with food and water to feed people. Now, I know we can talk about the value of fast food, but he didn't do this in his Carl's Jr. trucks. They were all white, unmarked vehicles. And he did this because at some fundamental level, he was the real deal. He wanted to help, and he could help. So where is the reality of the gospel? How invested are you and I in the real deal? I endeavor to be invested in the real deal, which means the life and love and ministry and movement that I see in Jesus, and I confess that I stumble and fall and rise and fall again as I endeavor to do what I believe is the right thing in the name of Jesus, in the name of the love of God that has blessed my life. So does that make me a failure? No, I think as Peter says, we have this inheritance. And sometimes in halting steps, we don't think we're worthy, don't think we're able to claim it. But if you believe what Jesus said, if you believe what those who followed him led, we don't have to be perfect. We just have to understand that we're forgiven and endeavor to live towards the light and love we know as Jesus. It's a pretty simple message, and it's lasted a couple thousand years, and people have mauled it and watered it down, but it's still real. It's real, and it's available to us anytime we want. Yes, we can walk away anytime we want, but it's still a real deal. We don't need it to be added. We don't need any special questions to ask. Is Jesus real, or we just can't believe it's not butter? You know, what do we want of our lives? What do we expect of our lives other than to be forgiven, to love, to work as hard as we can, not to judge ourselves and others too harshly? That's all it takes to be the real deal. You don't have to put a special label on us. Just call us followers of Jesus. That's real enough for any of us. So be it, and amen.